Well, welcome to MEC's online campus. We're in a series about what the pause we're currently in due to the pandemic and what it affords us to do, which is to take an official life reset. As we talked about when we started this series, when you hit the pause button on a computer or video, it stops. But when you hit the pause button on a human being, they start. It's as if the pause gives us that moment in time where everything stops, and then we can begin to rethink and reimagine things related to our life. It's when we have the opportunity to reflect on all this pandemic is revealing about ourselves and our world, which means it can lead to a new beginning, to a revisioning of how we want to live in the days to come. So I've been posing this question throughout the series. Where right now have you been feeling through this pause that we're in, a need for a new beginning, a reimagining of how you want to live differently, a different course that you would like to chart? Where are you feeling a prompting to pay fresh attention to something? Many have lost their jobs or have been furloughed, or if they have a job, they're working from home and often doing kinds of work they never had to do before. So we started off the series by talking about how that might be leading you to think about a reset with your work, your job, your vocation, and what that might entail. We've been experiencing more time with our families than ever before, with all the good, the bad, and the ugly that goes with it. So last week, we looked at what a reset there might involve, particularly in regard to a fresh vision for what we want our family life to be like. Well, today I want to turn the page and look at another area that I think a lot of us are sensing the importance and need of a reset for, and that's finances. I mean, let's face it, when it comes to what's been happening in our world and what it has made happen to us, the financial impact has been devastating. Whether you entered into this financially strong or financially fragile, this has been a wake-up call, and it's forced us into this collective gut check about where we really are financially, and are we where we want to be? For example, when the stimulus check started hitting people's accounts, the highest trending Google search was, what should I do with my stimulus check? People were trying to figure out, do I save it? Do I spend it? Do I use it to pay off debt? The answer from financial management experts was actually kind of telling. They said, well, it depends on your financial scenario. If you are among those who had been laid off, the money obviously was going to have to go to pay bills, to cover living expenses, to just stay alive financially. If you are among those who were temporarily furloughed or whose job was uncertain, but right now you were still able to make ends meet, then save it. You know, hold on to it. You might need it in the near future. If you are among the more fortunate who had secure jobs, and quite frankly, that stimulus check was just bonus, then use it to pay down debt. So same stimulus, different scenarios, different choices. But there are bigger things in stimulus checks making us self-assess things financially. We're in an economic recession, if not entering into a full-blown depression. Everyone agrees this is the worst it's been since the Great Recession of 2008 that was caused by the subprime mortgage crisis. I mean, it's bad out there. Reminds me of a story I once read. And long time ago, during the days of pirates and buccaneers, there was a seaman named Captain Bravo, and he was a manly man's man and who showed no fear in the face of his enemies. And one day while sailing the seven seas, one of his lookouts spotted a pirate ship. And when this was announced, the crew became frantic, but not Captain Bravo. He instantly yelled, "Bring me my red shirt." And the first mate instantly ran off and got the captain's red shirt. And he put it on and then led his shipmates into battle, and they defeated the pirates. Later on, the lookout spotted not one, but two pirate ships. And again, the captain shouted for his red shirt. He put it on, and once again, though outnumbered, he led his men to victory. Well, later on, the men were resting on the deck and reflecting on the day's victories. And one of the men asked the captain, he said, "Sir, why did you call for your red shirt before our battles?" And the captain said, "Well, because if I'm wounded in the attack, the shirt will not show my blood so that you men will continue to resist unafraid." And all of the men sat in silence and marveled at the courage of their captain. And then suddenly the lookout called down and said that he had spotted not one, not two, but 10 pirate ships headed their way. And all the men instantly turned to their captain, waiting for him to call for his red shirt. And then Captain Bravo, gazing with steely eyes upon the vast armada arrayed against his ship, turned and said, "Get me my brown pants." Economically, it's a brown pants kind of time, which means all things money are being rethought like never before, and all things money should be rethought. Do I buy a house or do I stay where I am? Should I risk changing jobs or even quitting the one I have to try and find another, or do I hold on to the one I now have for dear life? Do I spend? Do I save? Do I pay down debt? If all of this has put us into something of a financial crisis mode, revealing how financially fragile we really were on the front end, how do we survive? And for sure, how do we make a guarantee that in the future, this kind of crisis mode never happens to us again, that we're not this fragile in the months and years to come if anything like this were to happen again? This is a time a lot of us are wanting to rethink, to reimagine, to reset our financial lives, or should. Or should. So what would God want to say to us about all this? Where would he want to prompt us? Where would he want our thinking about a financial reset to begin? Well, I want to pose four questions based on things God has said to us through the Bible. So I'm not making these questions up by any means. These would be the four things he would want all of us to be taking into our reset based on what he's already told us in his scriptures. Four things that he might be asking you right now, wanting to prompt you to think about right now like never before. So let me see if I can put these four questions in a way that can really help a reset and prompt us to use this pause well. Here's the first question. If you didn't see the value of being financially responsible before, do you now? Do you now? I read an article in the New York Times recently about preppers. You know, the people that stock up for hurricanes or power outages or the coming zombie apocalypse. And the title was, "I used to make fun of preppers." And he went on to say that he doesn't make fun of preppers anymore. After COVID-19, the people who had already stocked flour and pasta and toilet paper and what else, I mean, they're kind of proven to be kind of smart. Nobody's laughing at them now. And I don't think anybody is brushing off and laughing at those who entered into this whole crisis that we're in now financially responsible either. Actually, in the Bible, it's fascinating to me how the ideas of responsibility and money are almost always linked together. Wisdom and money almost always linked together. They just go hand in hand. It's like the Bible is saying, look, if there's anything you want to do with money, it's to be responsible with it. In Proverbs, the Bible says, "Of what use is money in the hand of a fool, since he has no desire to get wisdom?" In Ecclesiastes, it says, "Wisdom is better when it's paired with money, especially if you get both while you're still living. Double protection, wisdom and wealth. Plus this bonus, wisdom energizes its owner." Before the pandemic, I would often encounter a flippancy almost toward financial responsibility among some people, just friends I would have or people that I might have had conversation with. I was always surprised that there was almost this flippancy, almost this brushing away of financial responsibility or thinking things, being careful with finances. People, for example, would blow off thinking about retirement and say things like, "Oh, you know, my retirement plan is I just plan on keeping on working." Or they would impulsively quit a job for emotional reasons or something, and they would say, "Well, I'll just find another one." Or they would pull out their retirement money early at great penalty and cost and start burning through it to cover up some irresponsibility that they'd already committed, saying, "Oh, you know, I'll just put it all back in later." Or they make a decision to buy something, a new car, a new house, and they never even bother to do the math involved to see if they can actually afford one more payment or one more, you know, aspect of their financial money gone like that. Or they live paycheck to paycheck and they don't care because why? "Oh, I'll always have a paycheck." There's a lot of people right now, and I don't know if you're among them or not, but for the first time in your life, you're hearing the voice of God clearly about this. And he's saying to you, very simply, but very importantly, if you didn't see the value of being financially responsible before? Do you now? Well, here's the second question God may be wanting you to think about. For a lot of us, he might be asking, if you didn't see the value of saving before, do you now? This seems to be, I think, the biggest reset people are not only thinking about, but they're actually putting into action. Most people who have a steady stream of money and that they're having any margin at all in their budgets, they are saving like crazy right now. You probably have seen the articles. The United States government's Bureau of Economic Analysis reported just a couple of weeks ago that the savings rate surged to over 12% in March, up from 8% in February. That's the highest savings rate since November of 1981. Even though bank savings and money market accounts and treasury bonds are yielding next to nothing after the Federal Reserve slashed rates to zero and launched all the recent lending programs. And the reason, one reason at least, is because we're obviously spending less. Consumption expenditures fell nearly 8% in March, led by a nearly $935 billion drop in spending on goods and services, obviously because all the places where you would buy goods and services were closed. We also spent less on non-essential medical care, leisure, recreation, autos. I mean, vacations we had planned were canceled. I mean, you know how it all added up. The only areas that went up, there were only two that went up, are the ones we already know went up. Food and beverages. You've heard of college freshmen gaining the freshman 15. Well, now the joke going around is that we're all gaining the COVID-19. But the Bible would remind us that we should have been saving all along and to take continuing to save into our reset thinking. In Proverbs, the great wisdom book of the Bible, it gives us this reminder. Fool, look at an ant. Watch it closely. Let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer it stores up food. At harvest it stockpiles provisions. So how long are you going to laze around doing nothing? How long before you get out of bed? A nap here, a nap there, a day off here, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life. Poverty, your permanent house guest. Well, here's another taste of its wisdom. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. The Bible encourages us to save, and the reason is because of the future. It's not just about wealth building or affluence or materialistic goals. It's about security, and it's about providing for our needs. It really is about times just like this, right now. So think again about the question and its implications for a financial reset for your life. If you didn't see the value of saving before, do you now? Well, here's a third question God might be asking you to think about and to think about deeply during this financial crisis. If you didn't see the value of getting out of debt before, do you now? The first pinch point that hits anybody in a financial crisis is the inability to pay their bills. And the bills that eat us alive are the bills that are related to debt. Student loans, car loans, furniture loans, credit cards. Did I mention credit cards? In the book of Proverbs, it says, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. And isn't that true? When you have debt, it owns you financially. It dictates to you financially. It determines what you can and cannot do and take away freedom and put you in bondage. It's just the weight around your neck. This is why in the New Testament book of Romans, it just says, don't run up debts. So does this need to be part of your reset? The one you're feeling the most, the one you're going to determine to take care of in terms of your future. Don't lose sight of this question. If you didn't see the value of getting out of debt before, do you now? Well, here's one last question that God might be posing to you, prompting you to think about during this time of financial dis-ease. If you didn't see the value in honoring me before, do you now? Let me ask you something. where are you needing God like never before when it comes to money? Where are you desperately wanting to cry out to him for help, but you feel ashamed? Now is when you want to be able to turn to him without embarrassment and without awkwardness, even with boldness, and just beg him for help and just say, you know, let me call on the promises of you honoring me because I have honored you, and you can't because you haven't. In Proverbs 3:9, the Bible says, honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income. He'll fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the finest wines. And that first part called a tithe, which means 10%, is the way he's asked us to honor him financially. With every paycheck you receive, every dollar you get, give 10% to God's work through whatever local church is serving your life and of which you are a part. And as we've talked about a lot around here, whenever we teach on this, we say, listen, if this is new to you and your financial situation is precarious and you've never factored this in, it's okay to start with 1%, 2%, 3%, and then start building toward this. God knows the state of your finances. He's just waiting to see if you're wanting to even try and honor him. But there are people who would say they know God and follow God and would say they love God, and they haven't given a single dollar to him in months, maybe even years. I remember talking to one guy about this who was very candid with me. He considered himself a Christian, and he said, but, you know, he said, you know, I haven't given anything in probably, gosh, 15 months, nothing. And I said, really, not even like, I was kind of almost half joking with him, said, not even like $10? Like, not even like $10? And he said, no, nothing. He says, I can't afford it. And I just said, and I had a good enough relationship with him where I could say, you know, friend, that may rationalize it to your ears, but let me tell you how it sounds to me. 100% BS. I said, I'm sorry, but if you're telling me you couldn't even manage to give the God of the universe $10 in the last 15 months out of the thousands you've earned, that's just crap. I've seen you waste $15, $10, $100 left and right on stuff. Somebody's got to love you enough to call you on this, and I'm gonna, and I love you enough that I'm gonna do it. You need to know God is not mocked. You're not honoring him, which means you cannot expect him to come through for you when you need him the most. And you're going to need him on 1,000 fronts, and not the least of which financially. I said, so don't give me that kind of stuff. It may sound good to you. You may have convinced yourself, but I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I don't get the zero. So let me put this question another way. If you didn't see the value of the power and presence and provision and care of the living God coming through for you in your financial life before, surely you do now. Here's the promise from Jesus himself. So don't worry at all about having enough food and clothing. Your heavenly Father already knows perfectly well that you need them, and he will give them to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. Folks, when it comes to money, I've said it before, I'll say it again. As your pastor, I don't want anything from you. I do want something for you, though. And I will challenge you on all four of these questions over and over again, because I care, God cares, and we both know that these questions, how you answer, will serve you. And we all need serving here, now more than ever. And even more, these aren't my challenges. These really aren't my questions. They're God's, rooted in his scriptures and part of the dynamic of our relationship with him. And if we haven't been responsible, if we haven't been saving, if we haven't been avoiding debt or working to get out of it, and if we haven't been honoring God, then now, since we've been reminded as never before how important all four are for our lives, now is the time for a reset, isn't it? And the one that will be tested the most, without a doubt, in my experience, is the last one. But it's also the one that is the most important. Think of it this way. I actually blogged on this recently, if you follow me and get the blog. In October of 1991, a storm stronger than any in recorded history hit the coast off of Gloucester, Massachusetts. It was a really unique meteorological event. It was actually three storms combined into one. It was the remnants of Hurricane Grace. There was a front that was coming across the Great Lakes, and then there was an existing weak front set to receive them both. Now, sometimes when storms collide, they can neutralize each other. Sometimes they can flip around each other, almost bumping off of each other. And sometimes, though it's rare, they can just feed off of each other and combine into what the National Weather Service calls the perfect storm. Well, that's what happened in 1991, creating an almost apocalyptic situation in the Atlantic Ocean with boats encountering waves of 100 feet. That is a 10-story high building of a wave. As you may know, this event was made into a best-selling novel by Sebastian Younger and then a movie starring George Clooney. And I was just thinking how we're currently in the midst of the potential of a perfect storm. Only this one is not meteorological. You already know two of the forces coming together. There's this pandemic, and then there's the ensuing economic upheaval that it has caused. But these two forces are, as we speak, in many of your lives, colliding with a third. If that third force that the pandemic and the economic havoc is encountering, if that is weak in your life, it'll be a perfect storm. If it's strong, if this third force is strong in your life, the other two will bounce off of it, even be neutralized by it. You know what the third force is? Faith. Faith. Yes, the pandemic is real and changing how we live our daily lives and threatening the lives of many that we know and love. Yes, the economic havoc is real. It'll be real for months, maybe years to come. But the third front in this storm need not be weak. It can be strong. So strong that it cancels the other two forces out, even exercising such strength that they bounce off of it when they interact. We've been through this before, friends. You remember the Great Recession of 2008 that I mentioned earlier? When we went through that as a community of faith, I remember writing something and actually went and dug it out that we mailed our quarterly giving statements, or our admin team mailed them out back then. And I would sometimes write a little note and stick in there with it. And I felt prompted to write these words because I knew what a crazy time it was and how much faith it was taking to be financially faithful, and how fragile our economy was and people's roles in it were. But that, you know, but I was just marveling at these people that were giving and they were continuing to honor God, and I was so proud of them, and they were just, you know, spiritual studs. But here's some of what I wrote to them during the Great Recession of 2008 to those who were giving. I wrote, "You are not crazy." I thought you might need to hear that from your pastor. So why did I feel the need to tell you that you're not insane? Because someone needs to tell you that in a world of skyrocketing gas and food prices, mortgage meltdowns, and stock market gymnastics, you are not crazy for giving to God through the work of the local church of which you are a part. If anything, you're demonstrating the highest level of sanity. By giving, you ensure that you're honoring God financially. By giving, you ensure that you can count on his provision and his hand of protection. By giving, you can pray without blushing for his help in time of need. By giving, you lay a foundation for your financial life around which all other things financial are built. By giving, you have the firmest anchor possible in the midst of whatever financial storm might come your way. So you're not crazy. You're a person of faith. Faith in a God who is there, which makes you the sanest person on the planet. And I say the same to you. I say the same to you. Hey, take hold of this reset. Be responsible. Save. Get out of debt, avoid it, and honor God. You will never regret that reset ever. Well, until our next area for a reset, and there's a fresh one we turn the page for next week, I'm really excited about digging into it. Until then, can I pray for you? Father, I don't know what's going on financially in the life of the person who's hearing my voice right now, in their family, but I pray for them because you do. You know everything. And you are so eager to honor their faithfulness. And if they take a step toward honoring you and being faithful, you are so eager to meet that with affirmation and faithfulness. Lord, you want us to save. You want us to be responsible. You don't want us to get ensnared in debt. And you ask us to honor you, and you deserve it. And then you promise to ambush our lives with 100-fold. So I pray that we would just, in the midst of all that's going on, get reset, revisioned, reimagined, re-anchored in all this. Because we love you, and we also know it serves our lives because you've designed it to serve our lives. So I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.